John chapter 14, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and John has some information here that none of the other Gospels have, and he's going to share with us about the Holy Spirit. In fact, the Holy Spirit is mentioned so often in John's Gospel, especially when we get to the last discourse of Jesus in John chapters 13 through 17. And what I mean by that is Jesus has his disciples and he is giving him his final message. He's about ready to depart. He's going to go to Jerusalem first, offer himself as a sacrifice for them and for us and for the entire world. And shortly after that, 40 days, he's going to ascend into heaven, back to the Heavenly Father. So he's giving his farewell message to his disciples. Now think about this. If you were one of the original disciples, you were with Jesus for about 3 years, and he begins to tell you that he's going to leave. I can imagine their feelings. You're going to what? You're going to abandon us? Lord, we've given up everything to follow you. What are we going to do next? Well, Jesus is going to tell his disciples he's not going to leave them as orphans, which is such a blessing and such an interesting thing as we follow it this morning. But I forgot one crucial part this morning. Before I get into my message, we have a Gideon who's going to speak to us. So, Brian, I'm sorry I forgot about that, but I just remembered it when I saw you. Do you want to do it at the end? Give you some time at the end? Okay. Thanks for being flexible. All right. You know, the Gideons, we have several in our church, and we have one that's going to join back there, Tyrone. So I think we're going to have about 6 Gideons from our church, so I'm in deep trouble if I forget them. Big trouble. Well, let's look at John chapter 14 this morning as we enter into this discussion again on the Holy Spirit. And I'm just going to read verses 15 through 18 of the 14th chapter of the Gospel of John. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you again for your holy word. We thank you that it is a true word. It reveals to us who you are. It reveals to us who we are. And this morning, Father, as we enter into this last discourse of our Savior, as he was preparing to leave the disciples, but he wasn't going to abandon them. Father, we thank you for his promise of the Holy Spirit, where we thank you in his name. Amen. Now, there's one word that I want to lock into this morning in this passage, because you're going to see it be repeated in the other verses that I'm going to share with you this morning, and it's the word paraclete, not parakeet. Maybe you have one of those birds at home, but paraclete. And this is a Greek word, but I want to define it for you first of all, because in your translation, depending on the translation you have, it's translated differently in just about every version. So this word paraclete has this idea of para in the Greek language means alongside of. It's a preposition, para, alongside of. And then the word clete means called in. So if you can imagine this word, paraclete, called alongside of, called in. That's the definition of this word. And when we look at it in my Bible, it says the word helper. And in other translations, it's going to have different words, such as counselor, such as comforter, if you have the original King James. Counselor is usually the New Living Translation, the NIV. And helper is the New King James and ESV. So they're trying to define this Greek word paraclete, and they've come up with different words to try to help us understand what Jesus is saying through this word. Well, another word is advocate. But usually we don't see that in our Bible. Unless you go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." We have an advocate. So this word advocate is a legal word. And typically, when you want to have an advocate, you might hire a lawyer in our culture. because he's the legal guy. He knows all of the P's and Q's and all of the ups and downs of legality. So usually when we talk about advocate, we think of a lawyer in our culture. When you hear the word counselor, usually we think of someone who can give us guidance, our professional wisdom, a professional, especially when we're talking about our problems in life. You want to go to a counselor. Isn't that true? Have you seen a good counselor lately? Well, you probably should. Lloyd, you don't have any problems. I know you don't. We all have problems in life, and many times we need a good counselor, so we seek those out. And the word that we see, comforter, is an interesting word in the King James, because God the Holy Spirit has come to comfort us. But when we think of that word comforter, we usually think of someone who can console us, a person usually, or it can be a thing. For example, MyPillow.com. MyPillow can comfort me. In fact, that is the greatest salesman in the United States. MyPillow.com. That guy can sell you a pillow for $100. And you'll have the best sleep you've ever had in your lifetime. And not only the best sleep, but the best comfort. MyPillow.com. That guy's a great, great salesman. So tonight when you go home, if you don't have a pillow that you wanted to pay, well, I take that back. Right now there's a special on. Two for the price of one. So it's only $50 a pillow. I was telling my wife, you know, I think I need one of those pillows. She said, what's wrong with a Target pillow or a Walmart pillow? Well, they just don't measure up, honey. It's got to be comfortable if you pay $100 for it. Does anybody in here have a MyPillow.com? Is it true? No. Well, that's when we think of comfort, that's one of the things I think of when I lay my head down on my pillow. Well, let's get to these contexts because we're going to find out this morning. Oh, there's one other analogy here that before we get to this context is that we have paraclete, we have paramedic. So, again, paramedic, Greek word para, alongside of a medic. Who do you call when you need help physically? You call typically a paramedic, someone who comes alongside you to help you physically. Isn't that interesting? And this is a word that's just developed in our culture. In 1970, it was used to define someone involved in the medical profession when they were rushing to your assistance. 1970 was when this word really came into existence. And it originated back in 1951 from parachutes. Think about that, parachutes. And it was from a corpsman who would parachute down to attend to your physical need. I find that stuff interesting. So when you think of paraclete, think of paramedic. Because when you're in trouble physically, who do you call? Typically a paramedic. When we're in trouble spiritually, who do we call upon? The paraclete, the Holy Spirit. So let's look at how ways that the paraclete this morning helps us through life. And you realize, again, the verses that Jesus is sharing, he's sharing because he's about ready to leave. Now, let not your heart be troubled. He begins chapter 14 with, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Aren't you thankful the Lord gives us promises? A promise like that? But again, the disciples, they were thinking, well, that's fine, but we still want you around, Jesus. We don't want you to leave. Would you have wanted Jesus to leave you? Abandon you? No way. So, he's going to send a helper, a paraclete, which is going to be even more phenomenal, if you can believe that. As the paraclete, the Holy Spirit, works in our lives and helps us through this life. It says in verse 16 of the 14th chapter, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, counselor, another comforter, an advocate, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. And we see the fulfillment of this. The Holy Spirit is dwelling with them, but he's going to be permanently in them on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit begins to indwell individuals. What a wonderful promise Jesus has given his disciples and has given to us who place our faith in him. He's going to be dwelling with us. You know what that word dwell means? It means to live in. Right now, you're dwelling in the church. Isn't this a great place to dwell? You came in through the door, you're dwelling in this church. And we do have a great church family here. I am so thankful for all of you that you come week after week and listen to me and to the Word of God. It's such a blessing to have someone to preach to. Did you know that? I have a picture in my office that I was given when I graduated from seminary, and it's this preacher up on a soapbox, and he's preaching, and there's the church mouse listening to him. And it says, "Preach the truth no matter what." Now, I hope I'm not going to end up just preaching to church mice. I hope I don't end up that. I hope you folks continue to come back. Because, you see, without people, we don't have a church. Because the church is people, it's not the building. So here we have the first thing that the Holy Spirit, the first way that he helps us is he dwells with us. And in fact, he's in us. And we're going to find that out when we talk about the day of Pentecost. Secondly, look at verse 26 of the same chapter. But the helper, again, counselor, comforter, advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. The Holy Spirit's going to be constantly reminding us, because we always need to be reminded daily of what we are and who we are and what we need to do. And the Holy Spirit's going to bring to remembrance constantly those things that he wants us to focus on. Isn't that true? Isn't it easy to get sidetracked in life and get your eyes off of God? Oh, it's so easy. Especially today in the political theater in which we live in. Isn't it easy to get off track? Where's our hope? Is it in the political system? It better not be. One thing we've learned that we haven't learned is that man will always fail us, but Jesus never fails. What a promise he has given to us. So our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Amen? That was better. A few of you are awake. That's good. And I know it's not traditional for you to shout out, but last Sunday I was preaching in the second service and someone yelled, "Amen!" And I just about had a heart attack. I mean, this guy got excited. He just, "Amen!" If you feel like doing that, it's okay. Because whenever you say amen to a preacher, it's like saying sigum to a bulldog. He gets fired up too. The Holy Spirit is going to remind us about all the things that Jesus has taught. Oh, how we need to be reminded daily about who Jesus is and about who the Holy Spirit is. Now go to John 15:26, because we're also going to see that he's going to help us witness, and he's going to witness. John 15, chapters 14 through 16 talk about the Holy Spirit. And we have verses here that are not in the other Gospels. So John has an insight into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Verse 26, it says this: "But when the helper, comforter, advocate, counselor," depending on your translation, "whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." The Holy Spirit is constantly witnessing to the world. You say, how is the Holy Spirit witnessing to the world? Well, remember that the Holy Spirit is invisible. The analogies to the Holy Spirit are the wind, can be fire, the dove. And God the Holy Spirit is constantly witnessing to this world through his creation. It says that all of creation is shouting out to a creator. Do you believe that? You go outside for the deer hunters next week, and I look forward to it for a couple of reasons. I'm not a big, how can I put this properly? Just so I don't insult the deer hunters out here. But when I get up in a tree stand, it is a real struggle for me because I have a hard time sitting still for 3-4 hours at a time. And this individual that I hunt with, I think many of you know him, Obi Moan. He's from over there in Crookston now. And so we've been hunting together. And one of the reasons why I hunt is for him, because he doesn't want to be alone. And I understand that. So I remember the first time I got up in my deer stand, and it's one of those stands that you just lean up against a tree. It's a metal one. So you're sitting out in the elements. And he believes that if you're going to get a deer, you need to be like the birds. You know, early bird gets the worm. So he says we need to be up in that tree stand an hour before daylight. So we find our way, you know, days before, he has reflectors, so we go out and shine lights, and we're finding our way to our deer stands. And I get in my deer stand an hour before daylight, and so I'm sitting up there, and I think, oh, this is a good opportunity to talk to the Lord. I mean, what else am I going to do? So I start meditating, and I start thinking of verses, and I start praying, and then I start singing in my heart and mind. I don't want to sing out loud because I don't want to scare the deer away. So I'm doing this, and then I'm thinking, well, it must be getting close to sunrise. So I look at my watch. 10 minutes have gone by. So I start again, memorizing, working, singing, and worshiping, and praying. And boy, it must be getting closer to that hour being gone. Another 5 minutes has gone by. Oh, it seemed like an eternity. Finally, the sun came up. But one of the reasons I'm sharing this with you is because God, when that sun came up, I got to see God's creation out there in the woods. And you really start thinking about that. What a great creator we have. And everything that God has created points to him. This just happened. He designed everything. Even this fall that we see as the leaves fall off the tree. And I don't like when the leaves leave, do you? I don't like that. But it's part of God's creation. And even in that, he is glorified and he speaks to it through you and me. So the witness of the Holy Spirit is constant. And we're going to find out, Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you and you shall be my witnesses. So we're going to see that the Holy Spirit is going to witness through you and through me as he empowers us to do that. Now, go to chapter 16. We see another word here, and we see it in reference to paraclete. Just a minute. My nose is running this morning a little bit. I don't have a cold, but I seem to have a nose sometimes that wants to run. So, he convicts us of sin in John 16:8. Let's look at that verse. John 16:8. And when he, the advocate, counselor, comforter, helper, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Conviction of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is trying to convict you and me as he dwells in us of our sin, of the fact that we need to be washed and cleansed daily as we understand who we are in Christ. Conviction is a good thing. Not a bad thing, because at times we wander away from the Lord and we feel convicted. And the Holy Spirit reveals to us what we need to do in relationship with our Heavenly Father and with Jesus Christ. So the conviction of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful thing. And the Holy Spirit is convicting the world, trying to convict the world of their sin because they need righteousness. And the only way that they're going to get righteousness is through Christ. Because it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's according to his mercy he has saved us through the washing and renewing of the Holy Spirit as he regenerates us. So we need conviction concerning sin before we come to Christ, and even as Christians we need the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So he's actively doing that. Now look at John 16:13. He's going to guide us to truth. John 16, verse 13. However, when he, again, the advocate, counselor, comforter, helper, the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you into all truth, for he will speak on his own authority, for whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. Guide you into all truth. Oh, how we need truth. We have a truth crisis right now, don't we? We're no different than when Pilate yelled out, "What is truth?" You know, he was confused, and I think people are still confused today. The Holy Spirit, through his word, is going to convict us about what is right and what is wrong. We're talking about absolutes here. Unfortunately, we're living in a culture today that wants to rule out everything is relative. It's whatever you feel or whatever you think. Well, that's a lie from the pit, because there are absolutes. There are absolutes. And one of the most absolute truths ever in the Bible is this. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one shall come to the Father except through him. Jesus, as he was praying in John chapter 17, verse 17, he said this, "Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is truth." So if you want truth, where do you go? To the Scriptures. Because the Holy Spirit is the author of the Scriptures, and he is going to reveal truth to us. And oh, how we need truth in our lives and in our culture especially. And then there's one last verse that I want to draw your attention to. And in verse 14, it says this of the same chapter of 16, "And he will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you." So we understand that within the triunity of our God, that we have God the Father. He plans it. We see God the Son. He carries it out. We see the Holy Spirit coming to bring glory, to bring conviction, and to draw people onto Christ. You see this inseparableness between Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, "I'm going to send, the Father's going to send, the Father's going to send, he sent me, and we're going to send the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is going to do a work in your life. And the Holy Spirit is going to continue to reveal to you those things that you need to understand. And he's going to bring glory. He's going to bring glory to the Father and glory to Jesus. Someone asked me, well, should we worship the Holy Spirit? And I say yes. And here's why. The Holy Spirit is God. And God should be worshiped. We see within the triunity of our God that the Holy Spirit is always directing attention to the Son and to the Father. But he too should be lifted up, because he's part of our understanding, one God in three persons. And so we should worship the Holy Spirit. We should call out to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and search my heart. Spirit of God, reveal to me those things that I need to address in my life. And we need to, again, allow the worship to take place in our lives as we worship our God. I know the Trinity is a hard concept for many to understand, but hopefully as we go through this teaching on the Holy Spirit, that you will understand clearly that our God is one in essence and three in persons. The Holy Spirit is not a force, not a wind, not fire or a dove. The Holy Spirit is a person. And the Holy Spirit in his personhood will reveal to us those things that we need as we open up the Word of God. You know that the Holy Spirit is the author of the Word. Holy men of God were what? Moved as they were recording the Word. This wasn't their Word, it was God's Word as they were recording it. And we have the Word of God through the Holy Spirit. Aren't you thankful that God didn't leave us as orphans? I'll never forget my wife's father. What last few years he lived his life over here at Trillium, and we got a call at 2 o'clock one morning, and he had passed on. And so we got up out of bed and got dressed and went down to Trillium, and his body was still lying in his room, and they had called a mortician and called Cease. Isn't that a great name for a funeral home? Cease. So Kevin Cease came, and you know, we were getting into a conversation with him, and we expected him to die. He was close to 95, and he died peaceably in his sleep. So what better way could you go? And he was a believer. So Kevin said to my wife, he said, "You're an orphan now." because her mother had died, I think, 2 years before that, or 3 years before that, I'm not quite sure. So she lost her mother, and then she lost her father. And Kevin said, "Oh, you're an orphan now." And my wife and I looked at each other and thought, well, that's comforting. That's nice to know. We're orphans. And then my wife and I obviously knew that he was trying to lighten the mood a little bit, but we also realized that we're not orphans. We're not orphans. God has given to us his Spirit, and his Spirit will abide for us, with us, forever. Isn't that a great promise? As we go through this journey and as we see generations pass away, we're not orphans because we belong to our Heavenly Father. That's where our citizenship is. That's where we're going to be one day for all eternity. So even though we lose those that we love, we'll never lose the one who loved us the most and gave us his life. Amen. Isn't that something to celebrate? I think it is. I'm a child of God. So are you, if you know him. You're a child of God by his mercy and by his grace. So Brian, come on up here and share with us about the Gideon ministry, and they're all about the Bible this morning.